Hey, PG fans, got a dollar? Then head over to shop.premierguitar.com and check out our massive ebook collection. We have authoritative titles on everything from DIY projects to lessons in a variety of styles and advice from legendary artists and gear builders. Plus, we release new collections every 2 weeks. Check it out at shop.premierguitar.com. With Premier Guitar. I'm with Steve Warner, Grammy winner, certified guitar player, hit songwriter, singer.
Well, man, thank you for all that.
And creator of a new signature Gretsch.
I love this thing. I used to have a serious crush on this thing, man.
How could you not?
By the way, thanks for coming. Thanks for letting me be with you today.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Okay, we got to start. I mean, you've got, obviously, tons of great stuff here, but this is the one we need to start with. Let's hear all about it.
Well, Gretsch and I have a really long relationship.
Oh,
you know, I go way back.
Chet Atkins,
absolutely,
days.
My days of meeting Mr. Fred Gretsch, you know, and Mr. Fred Gretsch now, of course, the nephew of Fred Gretsch.
Isn't that amazing?
But it's amazing. I met Fred Gretsch years ago, Fred and Dinah from down in Savannah, you know, the head of Gretsch Guitars, now super, super folks. And, you know, we've talked about through the years the possibility of, hey, kind of throwing it back and forth. Hey, one of these days we need to do a Steve Warner model. So we, Joe Carducci, some of those guys, my pals, every time I'd see him, we'd kind of talk about it, but it never went anywhere. Well, I was talking with Joe down at, I think I went and saw the Randy Bachman exhibit of all of his crazy Gretsches.
That's right.
And
it was insane.
And we brought it to that day. I played a little bit at the Hall of Fame, and Joe said, you know, we really do need to do that.
They heard that, they're like, my God.
And so he said, he knew I'd draw a little bit and paint. And so he said, draw out some stuff and your wish list. And so I went to my son Ryan, and first thing I did was call Ryan, who, I say this all the time, one of my favorite guitar players in the world, if he's not my son, I would say it.
Hey, for the
record. I mean it. I'm not even saying that, but I called.
Totally for the record, Ron Warner, checking out. He's a total badass friend of mine.
It's insane. Yeah. Want to play like that. But I go straight to Ryan's house and I say, Ryan, we're going to do this Gretsch model. And so I said, what I want it to be, my very first thought, John, was I want it to be, the way I play, I want it to be a guitar that I'm going to be playing.
Right.
You know, I want it to be something that's in my arsenal, that's going to go on the road with me. I want it to be something that I use. But here's the deal, and this is where I talked to Ryan. I said, I also want it to be a guitar that someone that's, you know, a young crunching guitar player might pick it up, somebody that doesn't play fingerstyle,
right,
and wants to play whatever, you know, Led Zeppelin song or The Who or Tom Petty. It'll be be great for them too. And it by the way, it says Steve Warner, but you can pop this off and put one that says nothing. Won't hurt my feelings. Go for it, because I know that they're gonna. My ideal with Ryan, and he did too, I wanted his influences. We wanted that. There's not anything on here with my name that you can't go pop, you know, and fix it. And I wanted it to be versatile for any style of playing. And I really think we got that with Ryan's help. And we also went and talked to Jeff Sinn, who is an incredible luthier and guitar, great guitar guy and wonderful friend, and just knows his stuff.
Yeah.
And Ryan and I went immediately to his place and said, this is going to happen. Can you help us and throw us some thoughts and ideas? And so he started in on the more technical aspects, some of the things that it does, you know. And
like,
so,
for instance, the painted on F holes.
Well, we wanted it to be a solid body. I wanted it to be, if you know, if you're going to play something hot and loud through that Marshall, Ryan's Marshall, right. Red Marshall head,
yeah.
If you want, if you're going to play through some serious amps, I don't want F-hole. I don't
sure.
want real F-holes.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was, I mean, for my finger style, I could have been fine probably, but yeah. I wanted it to be versatile
sure.
for every style player.
Yeah.
And also, we wanted the brass nuts. So if you, it's, it'll be the same for, you know what, that sustain will be there if you're playing a chord or open strings. The Goto tuners, we thought out everything on this
yeah.
guy. My first thought too was simple. I wanted it to be, because I do have Gretches now that I still go, I don't know what that does. I still don't know. I switch it till I find what I like.
Yeah, yeah.
But so I said, I want simple, master volume, master tone.
Man, I love
and
that.
Just a selector.
Right.
And then Jeff Sin came out. By the way, I'll say this, Gretch was incredible because I asked them for some crazy stuff that I can't believe they went along with it. They did, and they were wonderful for it. But I said, you know what? Send me a guitar, a Gretch guitar as a guinea pig here, and send me these pickups. And I had five different sets of pickups. I want these. I want that. They were TV Jones. I want these pickups. And they sent me all these pickups that we requested with a guitar to mess with. And Jeff Sin made this harness for me where we set it up right in there on a table, and we spent most of the day just swapping out pickups,
would you
five different sets.
Like record it and do a blind
test? Yeah, we recorded it, and I did a blind test. Jeff knew, but I didn't.
Wow.
And we did five sets of that. And so one of them that I really wanted to use was the Paul Yandel Duotron, he called it. He designed a pickup for TV Jones before he died.
Wow.
And he was a dear friend, so I didn't want to just do it because.
Right.
But it
didn't win in the shootout?
And then in the shootout, I told Jeff, I go, not knowing, I said, I want number two for the neck and I want four or whatever for the bridge. And he goes, well, you picked the Paul Yandel for the neck and you picked the Classic Plus, the TV Jones. And so that's what it was. And I go,
cool?
Paul, yes. Because
hey,
he's my mentor and one of my dear friends. And I didn't want to just pick it, but it really picked itself.
That's the right one. Boy, isn't that amazing?
We went with the mid-jumbo frets,
yeah.
the True Arc bridge.
Yeah,
and I was tickled that Gretsch, I thought they might go, well, I don't know about the bridge. But it's awesome bridge.
I've got that on my Black Falcon.
Ryan turned me on to that. Ryan.
For whatever reason.
And I love it. It's so in tune and stays in tune. And,
right. It doesn't seem like it should because it's just any adjustment.
It's a beautiful design. Whoever, and then the color, we start talking about the color. And I have a car that has a black metal flaky kind of color. It's an Audi. And so I kind of was looking at that and I kind of tweaked from there, took it up a couple notches with the gold. If you look, it's very subtle, but it's got a real little metal flakes in it. And they made me a couple different tops. And send them, and I go, no, that's not. I'd send it back, and we went back and forth for almost 2 years on this. They made me three different prototypes, and so we landed on finally this guy, and we changed this setup where with the Bigsby, where it's easier to pop the strings in and off quickly.
That is so much.
You know,
more
we
practical.
Thought about that, yeah, and that style of, you know, even the way these are configured where you can see the screw holes, they all come with you can see the screw holes. You can use
right.
that as your, when you take it out of the case, Gretsch actually do that. They did it for me. You can see, you can use the screw hole as the gauge for 11 or 10 or whatever.
That's great.
Because you don't know where you are otherwise.
Sure.
So, and then we went back and forth on the color. And then finally they sent a top that was exactly what I saw in my mind. And then I called them and I said, well, I want to call this color Magic Black. And they said, well, I don't know because we have marketing people. And they said, we'll run it by and tell them. And then they called the next day and said, they love it.
Yeah.
And so it's called Magic Black.
Well,
so.
I saw you the other day on that James Burton.
My hero, James.
Well, and here's, Steve was right after Brian May and right before Joe Walsh.
John, the words you never want to hear, right?
Yeah. So
you're on after Brian May and before Joe. Say what?
Yeah, and he played solo. Everybody else played the bands. He played solo, and it was just amazing with guitar. And that guitar on lights, God, man, it literally changed.
Yeah, it pops,
color.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
And I was playing through Ryan's. He has a Blackface Pro reverb amp that he's been talking about this amp for a while, and we've been talking about it. He's been
Yeah, we've talked about that.
And of course, but I took it out on the road and I go, damn, Ryan, how do you know this stuff? I almost forgot about Pro Reverbs. It's so great. Yeah. And so I had that with me down there. I stole Ryan's amp that he'll probably never see again, but I hijacked it. And
I'm sure you can work out a trade. Let's hear some of the sounds of this thing. It's such a diverse instrument.
Well, I'll show you the neck pickup. This is the Paul Yandel Duotron,
called it. The one
so it's really great for finger picking. And boy, it's so fat and great for the finger style. For example, that's great for the neck stuff, you know.
That's why this guy is a certified guitar player. For those of you that don't know, so Chet Atkins, he gave that title to just,
there's three now, there's three living now.
So Jerry Reed was probably the first one, I think.
Yeah, Jerry. Chet gave it to himself first.
Yeah, well, he
did an
it.
Album. Yeah, he did. I remember he had an album called Chet Atkins CGP, and I go, what is that, Chet? And he goes, well, I never got a degree from Harvard or Vanderbilt. He said, so I gave myself a damn degree. And I go, what does that mean? He goes, certified guitar picker, CGP. and then you know, he and Paul, they have for years, but there's a Chet Atkins Appreciation Society, like a convention.
Oh, yeah.
And it's incredible. People come from all over. And so one year, like the following year, Paul told Chet, he says, you should do an honor, like a CGP honor, and give it to Jerry Reed. And Chet goes, that's cool. And so Chet wrote out this long, where to for as on this day of our Lord. And, you know, and he wrote, I saw Jerry's, it's real long. It's very Mark Twain. You know? And so he had Jerry out there and he gave it to him. You're an honorary CGP. And then so he did it to John Knowles, who is a classical player, dear friend of Chet's, who did a lot of his book work. You know, he's a scholar guy, very academia, and can read his butt. He's a great player. Yeah. But he made him a CGP, and then myself, he made me, and then Tommy Emmanuel. Yeah. And so Tommy, John, and I are the last guy. Chet got very sick. There would have been 100 more probably after that, you know, probably. But
there's not 100 guys that can play like that.
I'll show you too, John.
There isn't.
Well, okay, very sweet. That's very kind. But my honor, briefly, I'll say, Chet, we were up for a Grammy. Well, the way I got my CGP is really cool. They called me one day. I did an album called No More Mr. Nice Guy.
Yeah, great record.
And Larry Carlton was on it.
Oh, everybody was on it.
Richie Sambora. Yeah. And, oh, my God, on and on. But the label calls me and says, you're nominated for a Grammy. And I go, that's awesome. They go, that's the good news. The bad news, you're up against Chet Atkins. And I go, oh, man. And Chet called me the night before the Grammys. He left me a message on my Coda phone. That's how long ago it was. And Chet says, and I believe this, Chet said, you know, I voted for you in the Grammys. He goes, I think you should win this, Steve. And he said, by the way, I've got 16 of them anyway, so click. And he goes, I've already got 16, so I voted for you. And so he beat me at the Grammys. Well, the next week, he calls my wife, Karen, and says, tell Steve to be at Cafe Milano Monday night. Back then, you know, Chet was playing every Monday night at Cafe Milano here in Nashville.
Downtown.
It's a little
no longer there.
Yeah, it was really cool. Else, yeah. And everybody in the world, anybody in town would be there playing with Chet. It was great. And so I go down there, long story short anyway, but Chet calls me up and he goes, there's a guy that should have won. I won a Grammy, folks. And claps. And he goes, but this guy should have won. He goes, Steve, come up. And I get up. I should have known there were cameras there and stuff. And so I get up and Chet goes, he pulls out his, behind his amp, and he pulls out a Grammy and he goes, you should have won that Grammy. And he gives me a Grammy. And he said, folks, you can't give these away. He said, that's why I took the plaque off. And it says, it says on loan to Steve Warner from Chet Atkins.
That's great.
And then he goes, oh, and by the way, and he pulls out this plaque and it says, let me read this. On this day, and he made me a CGP that same night.
Oh, that's great.
Isn't that cool?
That is too cool. And for the record, Steve won a Grammy on his own later on. Anyway,
so I'm lucky that I got four of them.
Yeah.
I'm not like those other Vince Gill and Ricky Skaggs. Those guys got hundreds of them.
Yeah, that's great, man. That's great.
So the versatility on this guitar.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So
I was going to show you.
Amazing.
So that was, and by the way, the combination of both is really sweet too, because you can. Anyway, then the neck pickup is just crazy. I usually do it. I love these hotcakes. Ryan Bullington also turned me on to my friend Ryan Bullington uses these hotcakes. They're made in New Zealand, and I just love it. But so this so the bridge pickup, the Classic Plus, and I'll do the split coil, you know, with the
that's cool.
With the push pull.
Oh, so it's got a push pull.
Yeah,
for...
on the tone, it's
great.
A push pull. And we even went back and forth and changed that a couple of times on the integrity of it, you know.
Oh, really?
And which Gretsch was wonderful. So the back pickup is now it's single coil, but I use a hotcake and usually boost it just a teeny bit. But check out the. That's some twangy,
so
you know.
Man, those runs hurt my mind. Jeez. Let's hear it with it down, without the single coil.
Okay, yeah, and it, you know, and you generally I wouldn't do the boost, so it's still got a real nice, even the without the single coil.
I think Ryan was saying that's the same pickup on the Malcolm Young signature.
Yeah, he did say that, and I didn't realize that, but without it, it's a Classic Plus, but
man,
Malcolm, what a great player Malcolm was. Well,
killer. That is.
Yeah.
That,
so that's some versatility.
That's a
and
great
then, you know, you get back out and you want to play something like, you know. But it's so crystal clear. That pickup is just, you know. This really makes you want to play. I mean,
yeah. Killer. Okay, that's going to be tough to beat, but you've got some vintage ones over here we got to get into.
Absolutely. But by the way, John, did I say they call this the Nashville Gent? I wanted to get that in there.
Which is such a great tribute to, mentor.
Well,
you know?
It totally is, and I wanted to get that in because they came to me and said, hey, what would you think about it? We want to call it the Nashville Gentleman.
Yeah.
And in honor of Chet. And I called Chet's daughter and asked her. I said, I know no one owns the word gentleman, but I want to at least say what you think. And she was so kind. She goes, oh, I love it, you know.
Yeah,
so,
that's great.
So anyway.
Yeah, he had the Gentle Countryman. I always thought that would be a great band name, the Gentle Countryman.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I like it.
Ready for a special offer on a print subscription to Premier Guitar? Visit shop.premierguitar.com now and use this coupon, PODCAST15, that's PODCAST15, to get 15% off a one-year subscription to our in-depth coverage of your favorite artists and the coolest new gear. Offer valid in U.S. only, no Wi-Fi required. Well, why don't we look at some of these other ones, too? I see you got this old Tele over here.
So this is a no caster. If you take the neck off and you look right here, it's penciled in 3/23/51, the birthday of the guitar. And the story on this guitar is just unbelievable. I was asked to not disclose when they gave me this guitar. It's given to me as a gift. And so I won't say who it's from, but they came to a show unbeknownst to me. I didn't know who they were. It was the gentleman that he got this guitar, his wife said, from Leo Fender himself on the West Coast. He was in a band, a West Coast Western swing band. Wow. They played with Merle Travis and Tommy Duncan from Bob Wills. I got pictures. She gave me pictures of him with them.
With that back in the day.
Yeah, with this. It was brand new then, though. Jeez. He was a tinkerer, too. You can see little holes where he had built, looks like some kind of fancy pick, his own pick guard, probably. But they came to one of my shows and had this and handed it to me. Says, she said, my husband just passed and he wanted you to have this guitar. And
how beautiful.
And it's one of the spankiest tellies I've got. I've got a 54 that's also crazy spanky, but this is I really love this guitar.
Yeah, let's do a little taste test. Let's try this one.
And you know, I told his wife, I told her, I said, well, you understand what they said? Oh, yeah. I said, well, let me buy it from him. Oh, no, his wishes were Steve Warner to have this guitar. And you know what I did? I played it on the Opry about 3 weeks later, and I invited them to come, and they came to the Opry.
Oh, that's
and they saw
great.
Me play it on the Opry.
That's so cool.
James Burton.
There. Oh yeah, totally. Steve, we got to taste test that too.
Oh, yeah.
To the 54. Man, how do you choose where you're going to play? Do you just like let the song tell you?
Pretty,
when you're in a session?
Yeah, basically. This is the one. If I'm going to play telly and I'm doing a record or something for someone, this is what I'll play because I love this 54 telly. And I bought it from a friend that was selling it, and he knew I loved this guitar, and Ryan turned me on to it. But it's pretty,
yeah, that's
whatever the word is.
Kind of bigger frets on that too.
But you know, yeah, it is real big fret. And you know what I love? This is not a totally crazy original. It's had a few things. He put that fathead little brass plate there, which I like. I love it. It's a player guitar.
But
I love this neck pickup is just brilliant. You can play some real good Western swing, you know. I got a little bit of slapback going on, but that's a cool tone, and it's.
Oh, I love it. Oh man! Okay, so, now let's test that with reportedly. So I'm told this is like the best sounding Strat ever.
Man.
No, you choose. You tell us. You know,
it's been in a case.
Let's see.
I'm I say it is, but it's me saying
I'm
it.
I'm
in love with this. This is a 60 Strat. My brother bought this.
He brought it at Gruen years ago.
Huh. And he actually, my brother Terry, who's played with me since day one, still works out on the road with me. He's really a drummer, but he's a good guitar player, great singer, really good drummer, really good musician. But he bought this. He went. He didn't have the money. I think, I don't even know what he paid, but it was nothing. It grew in years ago.
Yeah.
And he went to Michigan and played with a band, some guys that he casually knew. But he went up there and worked for like a month or whatever to save money to buy this guitar. And it wasn't nothing to start with.
Yeah.
But as luck would have it, through the years, I wound up, you know, he let it go, and I wound up with it. But it's a... It's really a sweet, sweet, sweet Strat, man. It's.
It's about as stratty as it gets.
It's really bad strings. It's not, you know, it's not, it's been a case, but it's.
Forget, what thumb picks do you use?
I've used them for years. They're Dunlops.
Huh, what?
And they make it, it's a small, I've really small hands and short little sausage fingers. But
these, they're not slowing you down.
No, I'm telling you, but when I compare to some guitar players, everybody always says, man, look how little your fingers are. But I can reach pretty good. But,
yeah.
But I use the smallest Dunlop.
Huh.
And they, years ago, they were kind enough to make me some with my initials and stuff. So, yeah.
Oh, cool.
But they're real small. Yeah. You probably don't mess with these guys much, huh?
Well, I mean, I do, but not like
it
that.
Wouldn't fit that. Yeah, I can say you got larger hands.
Yeah.
But.
Okay, now look, this is a guitar I think every Steve Warner fan has probably seen the most. Tell me about
Absolutely. Absolutely, and that, my memory may be a little foggy these days, but this, Joe Glazer made this for me in, I think, the 80s, 84, I think, somewhere in there. But it's through the years. I took it to Joe a while back. He never sees this guitar much anymore, but I took it to him about 3 years ago, and somebody put some black electrical tape to keep from splinters being on your shirts and stuff. And Joe goes, you got to take that off. He goes, you got to see these battle scars.
Yeah,
so, and of course, it's got a B-bender, you know, Joe's.
Yeah, his.
Joe's signature B-bender. It's his very old.
Yeah, that would be very early in his B-bender.
Early, yeah. He made Ricky Skaggs, if you've seen his purple one.
Yes.
These two were made together out of the same wood. They're
really?
Brothers, these two guitars. His and mine are.
Huh.
And you can, and the Ricky's neck looks just like that too. You can see that it's more pronounced than it ever has been. It keeps getting more tiger stripe, you know. But
killer.
Let me get rid of that. That's a solo I did on a record, Midnight Fire.
I did a
lot of people ask about this, you know, and I love playing. A lot of times I play on back there too, but I really like this kind of Stratus. You know,
that's the one I think I've heard you do most
of the time. Yeah. And
it's like
for example on the record I did on the Some Fools Never Learn. Remember the record I did? And then the solo I did, I was on the back pickup, I went.
Actually is a good segue. You're using some of your effects on this. Let's talk a little bit about your board. Now I never really think of you as an effects guy, just a little bit of delay, maybe some chorus every now and then.
Sometimes a little compression in the studio I might use, you know, but.
So what's this run in your, and this is an XTS put this together?
XTS, those guys, Nuke and Barry and Greg and they made this. This is actually one that I had made recently, about maybe a year ago. It's actually more for, I wanted one that was for in studio, that if I run out and do a session somewhere, I don't have to look for pedals and stuff.
Yeah.
It's got a wah-wah, I don't use much, but the volume pedal, you know, some classic stuff, you know, the Phase 90. And there's a Hot Cake that I really love. You know,
and that's just a little,
bit of a boost. I use it as a little crunch and a little boost, and then that Maxon pedal that is a good overdrive I use a lot, and my Echoplex delay. I have two delays that I use primarily, the Memory Man and I'll keep going back to my son Ryan, but I learned so much from him about effects and pedals and stuff, and I always go to him with questions on that stuff.
He's a true gear nerd.
Yeah, he really does. And I wanted the very first pedal, when I first was on the road, the very first pedal I ever had was a CE1 chorus, so I found a really nice one, and that was my pedal board when I went on the road. I had one record out, and that was my pedal board.
No kidding.
And that's all I played through it, yeah.
Did you have that guitar at that point?
No, I didn't have this yet. I was playing probably at that time whatever I could get my hands on.
Yeah,
I was, you know.
Before the hits.
That 60 Strat was around back then. I was playing that 60 Strat some. Yeah. My brother had that Strat. I would steal it from him and play it. He had a 59 Strat too that he gave Ryan.
Huh.
But this Vibro Stomp is a cool, interesting little. It's a.
Oh, cool.
Lost Tone, you know, they've made those for a while. I don't think they even make them anymore, but I always love that.
Oh,
it's
such
the intensity and the sweep.
Dreamy.
And the, yeah, you can make some really, I've got it set for whatever I last was on. Well, in the studio, but this is one of the XTS pedals. It's called a Fermata. It's a little like a little compressor, and it's really a really sweet. And I believe that's called a go-go tuner. I love that little guy. I love it. It's my favorite.
Easy to see.
Yeah, easy to see. And I use this Hall of Fame verbs, you know, classic verbs. I can dial them in and whatever I need. So it gives you about whatever you need if you're on a session.
So modest, but pretty much
with this Echoplex, they made me a tap, you know, if I'm using this Echoplex.
Sure.
Got a little tap on it.
So, and then amp-wise, right now you're plugged into that 59 basement.
58 basement.
Jeez.
That's crazy. I haven't had that very long, but Ryan and I have, we've marveled at that thing. It's totally original except for the handle.
Yeah.
And I just got it not too long ago, but it sounds so good.
Sounds great. And you've got plenty of this. What on the road, what do you generally play?
Well, I was talking earlier about the Pro is what I've used this year.
Yeah.
Ryan, I stole Ryan's Pro Reverb. So,
yeah.
Blackface Pro.
Yeah.
And last year I took out a Lazy J, and I did a two amp configuration. My Vintage Deluxe, Deluxe, 65 Deluxe, and a Lazy J. I had two.
Wait, a Lazy J? I'm not familiar with that.
That's a English-made tweed, kind of a, I don't know, it's kind of a, isn't it kind of like a, it's kind of like a Deluxe and a small little version of a.
So do you switch up amps very often on touring or just kind of?
Not really. I've been taking out my Deluxe for years.
Yeah.
And, just one Blackface Deluxe for years. That's what I've taken. And people always go, "What are you thinking, taking your old vintage amps out?" And I go, "That's because that's what I want to play."
Yeah, I'm not gonna.
And I got to fix the tubes every now and then to redo. Yeah. And I got to work on it, but that's what I want to play.
Yeah,
so.
Totally worth it.
Yeah, I'm not. And I've got three of them, so I'll go get another one. And so they're all a little different. They different speakers and stuff. But
One cool story. Then we'll let you go, but. This bass and that basement, is it that basement?
That's that basement. Actually the showman, I think you're speaking of. That showman. My Uncle Jimmy, who was a major influence for me, when I was a kid, he's my dad's youngest brother, and he played all kinds of James Burton, and he was really into the Bakersfield West Coast stuff, and he was a twangy player. He was just a great, and he looked cool. He had the hair, and he wore those cool coats, and his band did. I finally got to a point where I played in his band. He let me play in his band. I played those drums right there. That's my drums I played with him.
Oh, really?
Old Tricks on.
Green Sparkle.
I remember I went into the music store with my dad. He's going to buy me these drums, and I went right to this Red Rogers kit.
I just got
to
show this.
Yep. I went straight to the Red Rogers kit,
you know,
and I go, "Dad, I love these." And he goes, "I think these green ones are mighty nice. They're like half the price."
Yeah, right.
And
that's how dads make decisions.
So I wound up, I go, "Okay, I like green, you know."
Yeah, yeah.
And I wound up buying the Trixons. Well, then I played with my uncle's band, and it was Jay Hammond and the DJs. The lead singer was Jay Hammond. Yeah. And we lived in Louisville by this time. I lived in Louisville, Kentucky, and I was in the sixth grade. And I would ride down. He lived in Louisville too, my uncle. We moved there because he lived there first. But we would go down to where my parents are from and all my folks in Kentucky. We did a live radio show on WAIN radio in the morning.
Oh, cool.
And then we would jump in cars and drive to Bowling Green. This couple summers we did this. And my uncle had a 66 Chevelle, red Chevelle 396, and I'd ride in the back with those drums piled in all around me. And we would drive to Bowling Green and do a live television show, at night. It was a variety show, all kinds of bluegrass bands.
Yeah.
And we would play Buck Owens and Del Reeves songs and rocking Jim Jerry Lee Lewis, and I was a drummer.
Wow.
And I remember my mom once saying, like, "You guys need to put my son up at front. He's way in the back." And I'm going, "Mom, I'm the drummer. I'm supposed to be in the back." You know? And so anyway, that was my Uncle Jimmy. One year, I think 62, if I'm not mistaken, he went up to my Aunt Becky was from Chicago, and her mother lived in Chicago. And so they were up in Chicago a lot. And so in 62, he went to, I forget the store, I know it if I heard it, it's still there. He went into this giant music store in Chicago and bought this bass in 62 and that Showman amp. And also a white Jaguar. He bought all three.
Oh, cool.
And,
that, That's a classy dude.
You know, here's even more classy on him, John. Here's even something. He's gone now. He died a couple years ago, but he was really cool. The coolest. You wanted to play like him and be like him. He, you know, he had that hair.
Well, but, mission accomplished.
Yeah, he did it. But here's the coolest thing he did. When I started playing with Dottie West, I didn't even own a bass. She asked me to join her band. I was a senior in high school. She goes, can you play? We're looking for a bass player. She heard me in a club
in Indianapolis. She wanted like a bass player that sang really
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. We need a singing bass player. Our guy's quitting. And what are you? Would you be up for playing with us? And I go, I'm a senior in high school.
Yeah. And you're so, Dottie West.
By the way, I don't even own a bass. Yeah. So my uncle goes here and gave me this bass.
How cool.
That was 1973. He gave it to me. He goes, well, you got to have a bass if you're playing with Dottie West. Yeah. And so he gave me this. And then.
And she was a big deal. Was that like Lesson and Leaving?
Was before Lesson and Leaving. But her big deal, right after I was with her, she exploded with a song called Country Sunshine, which it was a giant Coca-Cola
crossover.
Commercial.
Yeah.
It was a national ad. Coca-Cola picked it up. McCann Erickson. Wow. That's all. It's all Mad Men, all of it. That's Mad Men. They talk about McCann Erickson.
Yeah.
And Dottie, I was with her 3 years and played with her and recorded a little bit with her, too. And this was my bass. And then I played with Bob Lumen, and this was my bass. And I played bass with Bob. You know, James Burton was in that band before I was. He was there. Joe Osborne played in that Bob Lumen's band. And then I worked for Chet Atkins when he offered me a job to. We were making records, but he also said, hey, why don't you play my dates with me, too?
Yeah.
This was my bass. Flew to Europe, put this in a Fender case, and put it underneath no
just
duct tape.
Checked it.
Here, check this with the Fender case, Tolex. Went to Europe, and there was no road cases back then. But,
wow.
But so that was my bass, and still got it, you know. And
man.
And that, my brother wound up with that, Terry wound up with that Showman, and it's all original the day he bought it, and I bought it from Terry a few years ago. So,
well, that is what a cool legacy. It's so cool that the story behind it. You did with it, man.
Well, I honor my Uncle Jimmy because he taught me a lot of guitar and he taught me a lot. You know, for me to play this stuff and have it, it's honoring him is the way I look at it. And he was a huge, my dad was too. My dad had bands and played, you know, practiced at our house. I thought every kid did that. They had people at their house with playing all the time. And
right.
But my dad was a major influence. My dad was an old Kentucky fiddler too. He played all that stuff. And my Uncle Jimmy was he loved Waylon Jennings and the twang, you know, that's where I got all that stuff from him.
God, isn't that amazing though?
I'm
lucky. Right with that, you get all this. For the record, we're in Steve's studio, which is an amazing studio outside of Nashville. But man, thank you so
John,
much.
Thanks for
what
having
an
me
honor.
With you, man. Yeah. Glad you guys came. And all the cool amps are Ryan's, all those Marshalls back there.
Yeah, this is pretty cool.
There's some coolness going on over here.
You're doing all right, Steve.
It's all right.
Anyway, till next time.
Thanks, guys.